At T-Mobile, we'll give you four free 5G phones and four lines for only $25 per line per month with eligible trade-ins. And no, it's not a contest. It's every day for a limited time. Everyone's a winner on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay. Up to $830 off each phone via 24 monthly bill credits plus taxes, fees, and $10 device connection charge. For well qualified customers, contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Diaz on the first base side of the rubber. Rests the glove on his left thigh. Looks into Alvarez. Diaz still staring in. Comes set. The 1-2 pitch. Swung out and missed strike three. Put it in the books. And to the New York Mets, California, here we come.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Knicks playing like they've been listening to DMX. Keith McPherson on The Fan. We got about 50 minutes left. I got a full rack of calls. We've had calls the entire night, so let's get through them. I feel like I've done enough talking. What I'm working on is getting some audio. What I want to play is from the Roommates Pod. You know, I was mentioning the Roommates Pod as far as these guys telling stories about Villanova and their time there. Well, this clip we're about to play came out today, well, now yesterday, and it was almost kind of foreshadowing what we were going to see tonight. This is Jalen Brunson talking to Josh Hart about, you know, their mentality and going into enemy territory and the narratives out there and just how they kind of go about their business.
And, like, now you have to, like, lock in. You're like, all right, no one believes in us. Let's go do it. Mm-hmm. Like, for me, like, that's – I feel like that's easier than being like, oh, we're so good. Like, everyone thinks that we're good. Like –
for sure.
Like, I like when people doubt us. It makes the process of preparing easier because you're not thinking highly of yourself.
Going to an opposing team's arena with the crowd going crazy doing all and winning and like silencing it, it's like one of like the best feelings. That was fun to do.
So like they're telling you on the podcast, like they know they got to lock in. Nobody believes in us, and they like going to opposing teams' buildings and silencing the crowd, and they're 2-0 in doing that. Now, honestly, they're 5-0 in doing that. They didn't allow the Pistons to win a game, and so far they haven't let the Celtics win a game. It's miraculous. It's great. Josh is in Passaic on The Fan. What's up, Josh?
Good, Keith. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. So I just, you know, in honor of what happened to the Celtics tonight. And I just want to put in, you know, put a little like an older man's voice in, and then just go through it. So here it goes. Ready? So Keith, I've been a long time Knicks fan, lifelong since I was born. You know, basketball used to be amazing. 80s, 90s with Jordan and Kobe and the mid-range game and the defense. And then 2009 came this guy, Curry, and my kids loved him. And I used to tell them, no, don't call this guy Chef Curry. This guy's really Butcher Curry, and he's going to ruin the NBA. But, you know, on our group me chats, because, you know, there wasn't any X or any of that stuff yet, people would say, no, it's just a passing thing, and we calmed ourselves down. And then other teams just started chucking up threes. And then the Houston Rockets took this off, but also crazy. And now Boston doing it historical. And just seeing tonight and two nights ago, how Boston, who loves chucking up threes, does it historic great to see them just lose, can't hit any threes. And, you know, the big line that really is making me feel great, defense wins championships, Keith. This was amazing tonight.
Why you got to do that, Josh? Why you got to pretend to be somebody? Why you got to pretend to be an old guy? Just be yourself, man. What are you trying to say?
Of course, yeah. No, just kidding. You know, how they must be enjoying. You always hear these guys talk about how they hate what the NBA has become. And I'm telling you, these guys are smiling right now. They're loving what's happening to Boston. You know, and in Boston, these guys got the broom sales happening before game one. We're out of the roof. They were all so ready to be, you know, dancing. Rooms and stuff, putting all their videos up and all that stuff. They didn't even, you know, I don't even think they had game five tickets up. They didn't think anything was coming back to Boston. And, you know, still, tickets might not come back to Boston at all. It's pretty crazy.
It's crazy. It's two games. I do like the whole narrative of, like I said, the Celtics thought that they, you know, could just shoot their way to another championship. And, I mean, basketball is basketball. And I just think that the Knicks have such an upper hand right now. I'm working on getting audio, you know, from the Celtics and from some of the Celtics media. The Celtics media have been hilarious. Like, the people that cover the Celtics after game one, they didn't want to accept it. They still don't want to accept it. And yeah, I'm working on getting some of that audio for you guys. What else you got for us, Josh?
Yeah, so today was the Free the Inner New York Hate with Mikal Bridges, Devin Williams, and Juan Soto. You know, some of the three guys that are getting, like, the most of it. You know, Bridges kind of not anymore, you know, since two nights ago. But, like, wow, like, each one of them something else. You know, Bridges' defense, Devin Williams, like, I know, like, you probably were, like, killing yourself when they brought him in, especially when it gets loaded up.
I was visibly, like nauseous in Yankee Stadium. I honestly left. Once he got on the mound is when I was like, I got to get to a fan.
And then, you know, everyone keeps on giving Juan Soto garbage, like, oh, he's not the same player. You know, these guys are all the same. They get their money and book, like, whether this guy's going to play well or not, he's definitely still got it. You know, you see that at these multi-hit home runs, and it's crazy how many. And I was telling last night about how spoiled Mets fans have become. Like, we expect a pitcher to not give up more than one run. And if not, he's doing bad. And it's just an amazing thing. Now, with Devin Williams, Keith, you know, we're talking about last night, is that it would be amazing for the Mets to go trade for him, throw him in the pitching lab, make him come out being an excellent piece. But, you know, now that he had this high leverage, I don't know if it changes too much. But who knows, Keith? Anyways, thanks for taking my call. Have a great night.
Thanks for the call, Josh. Yeah, I love the part of your call where you talked about, you know, like, man, New York is a place that's like, New York loves you, and then they hate you, and then they love you. They build you up just to break you down. But, like, really, it comes out of a place of love. You know, just last night, I got a call about Juan Soto pressing, and does he not like being a Met? And it's funny because our digital team is so great. They just cue it up as if I'm talking about Juan Soto, but really I'm answering a call. And I'm like, yeah, sure. Like, I'm not going to combat you on that. Does he look the same as he looked last year? No. Is he struggling a bit? Yeah. Have we seen him be better? Sure. Does he maybe have buyer's remorse, or has he got golden handcuffs now, signing the richest deal of all time, and now he's struggling a little bit being a Met? And then what does he do in the rubber match against a team where, like I said earlier, the Mets needed to beat. Like, I know it's not a must win, but as far as the season series goes, and, you know, Diamondbacks already coming to Citi Field and going out there right after, the Mets needed to beat them today. If they would have lost to them today, that would have given the Arizona Diamondbacks the tiebreaker when we get to the postseason. And the way it's looking, like, the National League West, people are already saying, hey, they could put three wild card teams in. The Mets might win their division, but also could be a wild card team. So that's something that could play later in the season where, like, you had to handle business today. And, you know, as much as I troll or make jokes online about Juan Soto because he did leave the Yankees and go to the Mets, I know what Juan Soto is. I watched every one of his at-bats, and before that I watched his career, and I have said he's going to have multiple two-homer games. Now he's just done it in a week, right? Had two in a week. This time the Mets didn't waste those efforts. This time the Mets end up winning. So Juan Soto takes all of the negativity, which there were some ridiculous things written about Juan Soto this week, about him hanging out in the bullpen and some other stuff that I'm not going to bring to the radio that I read on Twitter. I'm like, this is ridiculous. But ultimately, Juan Soto is happy that his family is happy and that his contract is done, and he's going to settle in just fine to this season and be Juan Soto. I'm not rooting for it. Devin Williams, I'm rooting for, even though I spiraled into the negativity when I stacked all the things about Pete Alonso broke him. They changed the beard policy for this guy. The fans are already booing him. They booed him on opening day. They chanted, "We want Weaver" when he was out there. He already lost the closer job. He can't throw strikes. He's walking guys. He's already been involved in four or five games that the Yankees lost. How does he climb out of this hole? He's too deep in it. It's not going to work. And then I was at the game tonight really wanting to win that game because the first game of the series in the rain when the mound wasn't good, Devin Williams was there and, you know, helped us en route to blowing that 3-0 lead and losing that first game. I'm like, you can't lose this game today. after being no hit, after Jackson Merrill, one pitch, he gets off of Max Fried. I'm like, we need to win this game. But then we're sitting there and we're all thinking, who do we have left? Who's up in the pen? Devin Williams. And Devin Williams being a high leverage reliever, being used to coming in at the end of the games, the Yankees, and I said, I know they're going to try. They're going to keep trying to fix him. They're going to work on him. So as much as we were critical of Juan Soto and people hated on Juan Soto, and Juan Soto, he's got to do this and he's got to perform and where is it at? We're not getting a return on the investment. And Devin Williams is here and the pinstripes are too heavy and it's not going to work. He got the opportunity to shut everybody up and he did. The Yankees don't win without him. And last but not least, Mikal Bridges. Oh, the five picks. We gave up five picks for Mikal Bridges. Oh, he's not worth five first round draft picks. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Because that feeling that you got after winning that first game and that second game, that does not happen without Mikal Bridges on the floor. Yes, he is. You don't know who those picks are going to be or what they're going to be. You could care less about those future picks. You're living in the moment, in the present. So, man, shout out to Mikal Bridges, Devin Williams, Juan Soto. These guys fighting through the hate, the negativity, the skepticism, the doubt. And when they get the opportunity to be who they are and show who they are, they did it today. Well, yesterday. 888-808-1019. Ross is in Bergen County on the Fan. What's up, Ross?
Keith, what's up, my man? How you doing?
I'm good, bro.
And it's unbelievable, man. You're just talking about Bridges, right? And I guess it's kind of like a good things come to those who wait type deal. Because you talk about it and you see online the F those picks and everything kind of like from the Rams regime. I think it makes up for every single time that, I mean, just this past year against Detroit, game two was eight, and they looked like Mitch at the free throw line, you know, basically almost airballing, had the game in his hands, almost airballs from the top of the key. I'd be happy if I never saw him shoot another 10-foot jump shot again, because at the end of the day, it took him until the fourth quarter to score. Like you said, you know what? Back-to-back games where he has the game-sealing turnover, you know, one, obviously the first, you know, the other night, essentially just whipping it out of Jalen Brown's hands. And tonight, man, the stuff where he was, like, the angle he was at, that was, like legit hard to pull off. I think that's just kind of, you know, pays homage to the type of defender he is. And, you know, who knows? I don't know if he could definitively say the trade was worth it just yet because all of the down points in the season he's had. But in two games, man, at least for me, speaking on me, every little thing I said to him and say, you know, he can't shoot to save his life and all that, He saved himself these last two games, man, because he is the face of these two wins. You know, obviously Brunson and OG popping off in game one, kind of, it wasn't really a single standout player tonight. But man, the fact that he iced both games kind of speaks testament to how bad, I don't say how bad his regular season was, but kind of how rocky was, and the fact that he's making up for it in the playoffs. So, but one thing I'll say really quick, Keith, that I disagree with you on, I think game three becomes more of a must win now rather than even if they lost today and it was 1-1. I think it's even more of a must-win now because you look at, and I know last year you kind of take it with a grain of salt with the injuries and everything, but the one thing I can't see, man, is even you look at as recent as tonight in that first quarter, they finished that first quarter with 13 points. It almost kind of felt like the old, you know, we're happy we at least got one on the road, kind of ease up on the gas pedal a little bit. No, man, if they want to stick it to this team, they got to go full-fledged. You know, you got to treat game three, even though you're up 2-0, I almost think they got to treat it like they're the ones that are down 2-0. Because the second you let them back into the series, the second they're all of a sudden the team that's coming back down 20-plus, and then, you know, they, God forbid, knotted up themselves, and now it's a 3-game set where they got home field or home court yet again, man. I don't want to repeat of last year. So I almost think game three becomes more of a must-win, even though they're up 2-0. You just can't have that sense of complacency, man. So this Saturday, man, they got to go all in and treat it like it's a must-win of their own.
Yeah, I'm with you. Thanks for the call, Ross. I don't think that they're going to take their foot off the gas at home. I think having the fans behind them is going to help. It's the Garden, bro. And, like, the Garden is going to be up. Like, it's going to be so crazy. It's not going to be like it was for years or any other, for, like, since the night. Like, I just know. Because of the belief in this team, because of the stakes being where they are, because of the series being where they are up 2-0, I said I was going to work on getting us some audio so you can hear a little bit of the other side, right? You know, Joe Mazzulla, who's getting completely outcoached, and I don't know if you follow him or aware of him, but he's like, he's very smug and quirky, and he's got this certain way about him. And a lot of times I just think he's along for the ride. I don't know. I mean, like, what he inherited from I talked about this the other night. The Celtics going from Brad Stevens and moving him to, like, you know, operations, and then going to Ime Udoka, and then Ime Udoka doing what he did, you know, off the court, and then this guy kind of just falling into his position so young with such a talented team that they put together. I'm like, this guy is just along for the ride. I don't know how much he's really this, like, you know, basketball savant, mastermind, whatever. Let's start playing some audio real quick before we get back to the phones at 888-808-1019 from Boston and what they're saying and what they're thinking. Here's head coach Joe Mazzulla. You know, before we get to game three, here's what he had to say after game two tonight.
What happened there in the last 5 minutes? It just seemed like you guys couldn't score. Yeah. And they just made every play.
Yeah, they made every play. And like I said, even, you know, throughout the end of that third, the fourth quarter, I thought we generated some good looks. And then I thought we had some live ball turnovers, and they took advantage of it. So they made the necessary plays to win. You know, we put ourselves in position to do that, and we just didn't make the plays.
Yeah, the way that he talks about these things are just, oh, yeah, you know, it is what it is, and it's not a big deal that, you know, this is a historic back-to-back loss, and both times we were up 20, and we lost, and then we were up 20, and then we lost, and yeah, we've shot 100 threes, and we've only made 25 of them. Yes, we've only shot 25%, and that's also historic. It's no big deal because we're the Boston Celtics, we're the defending champs, we got Jason Tatum, and we've got Jaylen Brown, and we're going to come back and win this thing. Okay, here's Jaylen Brown. Post game, who Jaylen Brown doesn't look the same. I know he had a little bit of fight tonight. I saw some moments with, you know, Josh Hart on him and him making some plays and him kind of trying to get the crowd into it. But ultimately, like, I've seen him and I've seen Tatum dominate, and they are not dominating. They both look a little bit lost, a little bit unsure of themselves. Let's hear what he had to say after this game two loss tonight.
Take a deep breath and just go out there and do what we're supposed to do. You know, we got to be better to close games, and we got to learn and respond fast. So that's the key. You know, shift your mentality, shift your focus. What's in the past is over with. You know, let it sting a little bit and then do whatever it takes, you know, game three.
Yeah, do whatever it takes. So you say do whatever it takes, but are you willing to do whatever it takes if whatever it takes you not shooting all of those threes? I don't think you're willing to do that. Robbie in Lennox back on the fan. What's up, Robbie?
Hey, Keith. Thanks for taking the call. You know, I was watching a little bit of the Knicks game, and I'm like looking at the third quarter. They're down by 20. I'm like, the heck with it. I'm flipping on the Yankee game. So I watched the Yankee game. All of a sudden, the Knicks banners are flying in the stands. I'm like, what's going on? So I flip back, and I saw that I had recorded the game because I get so nervous watching it. And like I said, you know, on this station, I've been calling 38 years. I hate the modern-day NBA. You know that. I mean, we've talked about the modern-day NBA, and I can't stand watching it. The reason the Knicks won tonight, obviously, they made some clutch shots, and they got the ball inside. But the Celtics showed how stupid the NBA really is and why I can't stand watching it most of the time. How could you be up by 20 points? If you're up by 20 points, Keith, why are you launching three-point shots? That is the dumbest thing. See, this is the difference between basketball, say, 20 years ago in basketball now, that the three-point shot was used as a weapon. The three-point shot was used intelligently when you needed to get a lead, you know, to break the lead, when you needed a clutch shot. Now it's used by guys that are up by 20 points. What sense does that make? And you have a guy like Porzingis who's 7 feet. And here's what's killing me with the Celtics, right? Tatum's in the corner, right? There's nobody near him. So what does he do? Launches a three. How about driving the basketball and dunking it? Then he does it. The second play, what, before they did the last play. And if you notice what they did, the Knicks, they tried around the same play again, okay? They tried around the same play. And the second time, Mitchie got on him, and then OG helped out, and then he still had the ball. I there's some times where I can't stand watching Jason Tatum. I know he's a great player, but he's just a ball hog at times, and I find it ridiculous when he takes stupid shots. But, again, Jaylen Brunson come in clutch. But it's just hard to watch the NBA right now for me. I try, honestly, I try. Like tonight, the Nuggets gave up 149 points to OKC. 149! They scored 80-plus points in the first half. How is that defense? How do you possibly give up 87 points and a half of basketball in on the floor, Keith? Please explain.
I haven't seen the highlights, but in defense of the Nuggets, the Thunder can attack you in so many different ways. They have a lot of good players.
They're fun
and,
to watch.
And it's pick your poison, and either way, you're going to get got. Somebody's putting that ball in the hoop.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I was watching up. What's his name tonight? Their best player. He's terrific.
SGA, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
Yeah, we call him SGA. Yeah, that's what they call him. But, yeah, he's fun to watch. But, anyway, going back to the Yankees for just a second, I felt so good for Devin Williams tonight. I really did. When he got off the mound, the emotion, and then obviously, you know, for JC coming off it with the sack fly to win the game. And it was a big win tonight. And, you know, Max pitched great. Max has been great. Let's be honest. I don't know, you know, Keith, I don't know if this is a World Series championship team. There's a lot of holes, but look, there's a lot of young kids on this team, and it's fun watching them. So at least the Baby Bombers are having some fun. So I'm enjoying that. But I have to say, honestly, with, you know, tonight was a great night because the Knicks won, the Yanks won. Obviously, I didn't root for the Mets. Isn't it funny, Keith? I never hated the Mets until Juan Soto became a Met now. I mean, I've been watching the Mets since 1973, since I've been watching the Knicks.
Gives you a villain. Really, that was my take a while ago. I'm like, now there's a villain. Now there's this figure.
He's like the villain.
He's coming back to Yankee Stadium on Friday. It just ratchets things up a little bit more.
So what do you think the reaction's going to be, man? What do you think it's going
to
be?
It's going to be a mix of everything. Tiki Barber's telling people to turn their back and be quiet. There's a guy outside Yankee Stadium selling F. Juan Soto shirts, so there's going to be some of those chants.
So
there's obviously going to be boos, and Mets fans live in New York as well, so there's going to be cheers. It's just going to be loud.
Yep.
It's going to be loud.
It's going to be wild. It's going to be a wild scene. Anyway, brother, thanks for the time. Yeah, let's go next. I mean, do you know what? I agree with Ross, and by the way, Ross, I don't know why he agrees with the Sullivan hire with the Rangers, but sometime I'll hear Ross's opinion, but I agree with Ross. I think game three is a must, and even Shaq said that tonight. When I watched the post-game show on TNT, he said, the Knicks come out flying and put this thing away already. I mean, don't give the Celtics a chance to get back in the series. So, anyway, man, thanks for the time as always, brother.
Thanks for the call, Robbie. Yeah, I mean, if you could draw it up, like, this is a dream scenario, right? You go take the first game, and everybody says the series doesn't start until the road team wins. Okay, it started in the first game. Then you take the second game, right? You already had home court advantage. Then you take the second game, and now the odds are literally in your favor to take the series. You're up 2-0. They have to win twice as many games as you have to win the series. They got to get four before you get two. Oh, now it goes back to New York, and your building is going to be upside down. It's going to be a ridiculous atmosphere that, like, maybe the Celtics are ready for. I don't know. I think the Knicks are just as ready for it as they are, so put them away. Put your foot on the gas, put your foot on their throat, like put the nail in the coffin. You go up 3-0, you're not blowing a 3-0 lead, right? I don't know. It's a series. I'll say this. The NBA doesn't want this to be a quick series. And most of us thought, and I know I listened to a lot of pundits, like Boston, they were like, these people in Boston, man, they overly believe. They were saying Celtics in five, and they were saying they only were saying Celtics in five because they wanted to show the Knicks a little bit of respect that they won't get swept. Now, you know, they're halfway to being swept. So I'll say this. Your thoughts become things, and in these games, you can feel it. Like, the Celtics know now a 20-point lead is not safe. They got to go up by 25-30 in the Garden. They might not get there. And if it's close in crunch time, the Knicks have obviously Brunson, but Mikal Bridges as well, that's going to help him close this thing out. So, yeah, it's going to be an interesting Saturday afternoon into the nighttime in New York at Madison Square Garden. Here's Osama up in the Bronx on the Fan next. Before we go to break, you got it, bro. Go for it.
Hey, hello. How you doing, Keith?
Good. How are you?
I'm good, brother. I just want to say I like your show. You give it a lot of authenticity. And me being born in the Bronx and raised, I really get you sometimes because, you know, you give this show the sazón, adobo that be missing sometimes. But
appreciate
I want to talk about today. No problem, boss. I want to talk about today's game, man. It was a great, great game. But I don't know because I'm a Knicks fan or not, but I felt like the refs were horrible today. That third foul on Cat, that should not be called in the playoffs. You know, it's a physical game and everything. And when Jalen Brunson went up for that three, and White didn't give him his landing space, and that should have been three foul shots for Brunson. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it is what it is. But, if Brunson ended up rolling his ankle, it would have been a different story. But I want to talk about, you know, I know the unicorn is you know, he's sick, something with his stomach, Porzingis. Brown, something's going on with his legs and hammy. You know, Tatum got his issue with the wrist. But I think it's the perfect storm for the Knicks. You know, they're gritty, they're hungry. And I think it's, you know, sometimes for a team to go deep in the playoff or to win the championship, you need a little bit of a luck. And maybe we find it this year because, you know, what happened to us last year with OG getting hurt and what happened to Mitch with, the, you know, dirtiest player in the NBA and all that stuff. So I think, you know, the Knicks got that bad taste from last year, and I think it's really, really, really making them drive this year. And, you know, as long as the Knicks keep it close in the end of the games, and, you know, we got Brunson, you know, calling Mariano Rivera out there when it's clutch time. So we should, as long as we keep them close in the fourth quarter, I think the Knicks should be able to win. But, you know, Town got to do what he kept doing today. He got to go eat. I was concerned about Bridgie in the beginning of the game. I thought, you know, game one, he had, like, played, like, 51 minutes. I thought he was not going to have his legs on him and stuff like that. But in the fourth quarter, he became a demon. But I really personally think that also that Josh Hart is the key. As long as he keeps doing what he's doing, you know, he's all over the place. He gets, you know, rebounds, offensive rebounds. But I think if he gives us at least 15 points, the Knicks should be in good shape.
Yeah, if they're going to leave him open, he's got to take advantage of it.
Yeah, he can. Yeah, because I felt like with Detroit, he was a little hesitant. But now he's just, you know, he's open. He's shooting it. And
thanks for the call, Osama. Appreciate it. 888-808-1019. What I'll say here before we go to break is that the Knicks have a team, and all five of their starters on any night can star. All five of their starters on any night can have 20 points. Tonight, the leading scorer was Josh Hart. If you would have bet that, right, for Josh Hart to have 20 plus 20 points, probably cash you some good money. It could be OG like it was in the first game. Mikal Bridges. You just don't really know at what point they're going to turn up. And that keeps the team off balance. You know, the Celtics obviously have their stars, but I'm telling you, they're compromised. I think we all know that now. And you're starting to see that now. I don't think they're as physically conditioned as the Knicks. Kristaps Porzingis has like a stomach virus, something. He's sick. Will he shake that by Saturday? Perhaps. But like, how much of a difference will it make? I don't know. Jaylen Brown had a right knee issue late in the season. I think he's still feeling that. They're not going to say anything because it's the playoffs and you got to tough it out, gut it out or whatever. But like, Drew Holiday had a hamstring strain. I think he's still feeling that a little bit, right? Curry's out with a hamstring strain right now. They're saying that they don't know the timetable for his return. Holiday is back. But I mean, when Holiday made that foul on Brunson, I'm like, this guy is not like you like, I feel like, you know, that's a mistake you make when you're a little bit compromised. And last but not least, Jason Tatum, he's got a wrist injury. There was a point where you, like, I saw him adjust his wrist in this game where I'm like, yo, they got them. They got them right where they want them. They're hurt. They're reeling. They're a little bit lost. They're at home. Their fans are starting to turn on them. The Knicks are up 2-0 halfway to getting back to the Eastern Conference Finals. 888-808-1019. Last call, four calls. Keith McPherson on the Fan. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back.
Catch all the play-by-play with Susan Waldman and Dave Sims on the home of Yankees radio, The Fan.
And back to the calls and the conversation. The New York Knicks are up 2-0. The Yankees take the series from the Padres. The Mets take the series from the Diamondbacks, and New York is on top. New York or nowhere. New York versus everybody. Keith McPherson on the Fan in New York, 888-808-1019. Streaming live for 2,374 viewers chatting and talking. And, you know, on a night like this, there's just a lot of people that aren't trying to go to bed, are trying to live in it and extend their night. And we're going to keep doing that. Big Mac is in here. Big Mac's got you from 2 to 5, and I've got you until we get to 2. So let me take the rest of my calls, and I'll get out of the way like I always do. Marco in Queens on the Fan next. What's up, Marco?
Keith, it's such a pleasure. Thank you for taking my call.
You got it.
So I just want to say I'm a construction worker, right? I just got off my shift. three Voodoo Rangers in. So if I slip up, forgive me. All right?
Okay.
I'm ecstatic and over the moon about this Knicks win tonight, right? My squad hasn't won since 1973, right? This club delivered tonight. They made the city proud. This trade delivered. I don't care about these first-round picks, right? Mikal Bridges, right, did what he had to do. And Ananobi, you know, Bruce McBride, you know, these guys are here to play. And I can't tell you how happy I am with the performance tonight. Now, I didn't watch the game because I work all night, right? But I'm going to watch highlights in 2 minutes. But this city is wild right now. All right? I'm in Queens, right? I just got off my job. I work in downtown Manhattan, right? I'm on First Avenue and 15th Street, right? Dude, this is an awesome feeling right now that we're experiencing. And I just want to put this in perspective, right? When you measure all the impact moments of all our clubs, whether it's the Rangers, Knicks, Jets, Giants, Yankees, Mets, right? In the pantheon of experiences, isn't a Knicks win in a big spot on Mount Rushmore at the very top when it comes to it?
Yeah, it's really not, from my experience, it's really not even close, because the entire city, 90% of the city that roots for a basketball team and roots for the Knicks, maybe 10% are Brooklyn Nets fans. Not even really, like, everybody that watches basketball in New York, the greater New York City area, and all the New Yorkers that are you know, across the country and globe elsewhere, they're Knicks fans. It's split with the Yankees and Mets. It's split with the Jets and Giants. It's split with the Rangers, Islanders, Devils. And even so, it's just like, it's just a different vibe and feeling because everybody is in on the Knicks.
Agreed. Can you think of a higher high? Like, all right, Yankees, Red Sox, maybe a Subway Series, you know, maybe the Jets beat the Patriots. Like, what's a higher high right now than the Knicks knocking off an overrated Celtics club? Can you name, like, anything?
It would have to be that? It would have to be an actual championship. Like, the Knicks have been so bad in their history and haven't had these things that their weight is so much heavier. You know what I'm saying? Like these wins, this is a second round. Like, they haven't won the series, but this is like such an improbable, you know, underdog win that, like, nobody had them winning the first game. Nobody had them winning the second game. Nobody, there are still people. I just was looking online. I think Nick Muse has, you know, Poly Market Sports still has the Celtics to win the series by slight, like, they're 51% chance to win. So, like, that's what it is too, because it's doing the, like, unimaginable. It's doing the, like, improbable, I don't have a word for it, but it's like, it's basically doing the unthinkable. Nobody thought that this would happen.
I'm over the moon. I don't even have the word. Listen, I'm articulate, right? I have a good vocab bank, right? I can't even put in words what I'm feeling right now, okay? We're up 2 games on a heavily favored Boston club.
The defending champs.
I didn't put money down on these games right now.
The defending champs are reeling right now, and it's coming back to New York. Thanks for the call, Marco. And, like, man, I love you guys giving me, you know, your vantage point of physically where you were, what you were doing. You know, he said he didn't even watch the game. He was at work. But, like, you have a phone, and I'm sure people text you. You have social media. I'm sure you looked at some things. There's no way to hide it. Like, I got to sit in Yankee Stadium and watch the game, and every single section was moving in a certain type of way as that game got close, as the Knicks took the lead, and as the final buzzer sounded and the Knicks won, and you heard, "Let's go, Knicks chance." They put the final score on the big board, and everybody just in unison was just like celebrating. It is, it's special, man. It's just The Knicks haven't won the series yet, but nobody expected them to do this. And they're doing the unthinkable. They're doing the unimaginable. They are beating the odds, and they are beating the champs. And when you do something that everybody said you couldn't do, it's euphoria. It's a rare occasion. We just don't see this in sports. They're like small miracles. Kenny's in Westchester on the Fan. What's up, Kenny? Kenny C. My bad. It's Kenny C. in Westchester. Are you there, Kenny?
Yes, sir, my G. I'm here. How are we doing tonight?
Gotcha. I'm all right. How are you?
My man, I am elated. I feel like I'm still living in a fever dream after what I witnessed. It was literal deja vu. You cannot make it up, Keith. The stories write themselves. The Knicks trail by 20 in the first game. They trail by 20 in the second game. They mount an epic comeback. Some of their major role guys not having good games throughout the entire game until it mattered the most. I was ready to burn it all down with regards to Mikal Bridges. I was about to be done with this guy. We wasted 5 first-round picks. And what does he do? He shuts my mouth again. He clutches up in game one in the overtime. And in the fourth quarter, absolutely turns it on after shooting horribly through 3 quarters and locks it down for New York. I feel like I am still dreaming. I need to be pinched because I cannot believe that the New York Knicks are up 2-0 in the series when, just like you said, all the Boston pundits, all the major big heads, so to speak, Charles Barkley, all those guys, counting out the Knicks from the very get-go. Oh, this team doesn't have it. Yeah, they fought hard. It was a gritty series against the Pistons, but they barely came away with that. They barely got out of that series. The Celtics are going to dog-walk them. And after game one, everyone said what? It was just a fluke. The Celtics had a bad game shooting. It's not going to happen again. They're not going to shoot that bad again. They shot less than 25% from 3 in this game. So I don't want to hear that. The Knicks brought the defense. The Knicks brought the grit. I absolutely love what I'm seeing right now.
It's funny you say the deja vu. Thanks for the call, Kenny. The New York Post back page says deja 2. And it is like kind of eerie how both games had the 20-point deficit, how both games end with Mikal Bridges' defense and literally taking the ball in the last possession and chucking the ball. It says deja 2. Bridges seals another miracle comeback from down 20 as Knicks stun Celtics again. What it is doing something that everyone said you couldn't do. A lot of Knicks fans were, we'll be happy to get a game. So if you were happy to just get a game, describe what you're feeling getting the first 2 games. Jeff is down in Louisiana on the Fan. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, Keith. So good to talk to you. I just wanted to say that as well as the Knicks have played, I think they could play better. I was watching the early part of the game. It was making me tense. And there were too many errant passes, too many missed shots from close in. They looked tense, and I've seen that before. In contrast, the Celtics looked crisp, well organized, and I was thinking the Knicks match or even maybe even are better than the Celtics as it looks talent wise. I think the talent discrepancy is wrong, but they just don't play fundamental basketball well enough. And then I felt so tense. My wife said we were going out to order out for dinner. I'm going with her. I got away from the game. I couldn't take it. Come back and look at the phone, and it's like it's toward the end of the game, and it's my gosh, the Knicks are up by 1 point. It's like I put it on, and then it was so dramatic at the end again. And I can't say enough about Mikal Bridges. He not only blocked Tatum's shot, but then he wrested control of the ball on top of it to just absolutely cinch it. I can't even really fully feel the exhilaration yet because it just made me so tense. I'm still coming down from the early part of the game. But but the main thing is I actually think they really have a very good talent level. I think Thibodeau has done an incredible job. I think Towns, Ananobi, Brunson, they're all much better players than when the Knicks when they first traded for them. I think that's one thing Thibodeau deserves credit for. On I know I'm just railing, you know, running away, but I think too, you know, even though they don't have very many future draft picks, they have Dettier, they have I like Hakporti, I like Kolek, and I'm rooting for Keith McCullough. I've said this before, or Kevin McCullough rather. He's I've read really good things about him. He's 6'7", kind of a small forward, and play from Kansas, I think. U of Kansas, I think. And it's, he's sort of one of these multi-capable players. So I think they do have a future from a future bench. Besides, already they have McBride and Mitchell Robinson. I hope they don't trade him.
Thanks for the call, Jeff. I'll say this. You know, I'm not worried about the Knicks' future. Their time is now. And we talk so much about their window. Their window is now. And they're seizing the opportunity. They match up well against the Celtics team, especially, again, a compromised Celtics team that's in shock right now. Can't believe they lost two games on their home floor after they won the whole thing last year. Right? It gets in your head a little bit. But again, and I say this every week, this is why we watch the damn games. This is why people are at a Yankee game live looking at their phone. Because we don't know. This is why you're allowed to go bet. This is why sports gambling exists. Right now, if you put money on the Knicks, you're probably feeling really good about yourself putting the money on the Knicks game one, game two. This is why we're fans. This is why you have a fanatical belief in your team and your fandom. And a hope that, hey, yeah, they said we can't win, but like they got to roll the ball out there. And these guys that play, they put their shoes on the same way. They put their pants on the same way. They're humans. And the competitive spirit, you know, that guys like Jalen Brunson say, well, they like that. Jalen Brunson's used to people his whole life telling him what he wasn't going to be or wasn't going to do. And he put in the work and proved them wrong. Like, that's all they're doing. They are proving everyone wrong. They have a chip on their shoulder. Like, have you ever proved someone wrong in your life? Has someone ever told you you weren't going to be something, you weren't going to do something? Has someone ever underestimated you? And then the feeling you got when you proved them wrong feels good, doesn't it? And then it feels really good to do it again. That's where the Knicks are right now. 888-808-1019. Tony in Montreal back on the Fan. What's up, Tony?
How you doing, Keith? I love the actual, I can feel the love for the Knicks in Montreal from the guys that were just on your show just now. It's like, it's amazing. It's like almost like the same vibe when Montreal was doing well in the current run, and the love is really great. I was going to say this guy Brunson, I don't know very much about basketball, but because the playoffs are at the same time, I saw this guy Brunson playing. I don't know what game it was, but it was a crazy game down to the last second, and then there was shots, and then they didn't count, and then Brunson was on the field. This guy, the best compliment, Keith, I can give this guy, he looks like Josh Anderson for the Montreal Canadiens. He's a beast on the basketball court. He's not afraid. He goes after the ball, and he can really, you know, he actually made an impression on me. And I don't really know anything about basketball. I thought it was enjoyable to watch.
But you can tell he's slow heartbeat. He's cold blooded and dialed in when it's time. Like, he is a stone cold killer. He won Clutch Player of the Year. The first guy to ever win Clutch Player of the Year for the points and you know what he does in the fourth quarter.
You know what? Maybe I am a pretty good scout, because I don't know anything about basketball, but that's the guy I like on the Knicks. And he reminds me of Josh Anderson, the guy that went after the Washington Capitals, tough guy, and actually fought him right off the ice onto the bench. I don't know if you saw that highlight. But I just wanted to say, you know, the love that you guys are feeling for the Knicks, that you're knocking out the former champs, right? The Boston Celtics, the former champs. Well, guess what? Toronto, who was, everyone was poo-pooing and saying they weren't going anywhere. Well, they knocked off someone pretty good in the first round. Now they're knocking out the Florida Panthers, former, you know, well, last year's champs, right? So, like, the city of Toronto and New York, you're both going nuts. and I'm enjoying the whole thing. I really like watching this because you see people upside down, man. They're like, even that construction worker, I love his accent, and I love the way he loves the team. So you got to love passion like that, Keith. You know, that's what sports is about. Like you were saying, tell me where you are. Tell me what you're doing. I'm sitting in my driveway in my house listening to you in my car because I can't get you in my house. And I listen to you every night when I come back from work because I love the way you treat your callers, and I like the way you vibe with everybody. But I'm telling you, I'm hoping the Knicks win. I'm not a basketball guy, but I like the way you guys love the Knicks. And Toronto, I'm thinking maybe this year, Keith, maybe it's a Toronto-Edmonton finals, an all-Canadian final. It's not been done for a long time.
Yeah, good luck. Hopefully it materializes. Thanks for the call, Tony. Yeah, I'm a fan like you guys are. I've learned as a radio host that my fandom doesn't need to take precedent over my takes or my show, and it's really secondary. It's about you, right? Especially when you're celebrating, especially when you're in the moment of, you know, just rare feats like the Knicks going up 2-0 on the Celtics when no one expected that. Like, it's a special night. So I try and get out of the way. I try and, you know, let you guys call and have at it. We took a bunch of calls. We played some audio. We went over the stats and the different things. And all in all, the series continues. And Big Mac is coming up next to take more of your calls and keep the night going. I mean, there's people that will be checking in and people waking up. And like I said, today you are going to hear a different tone. You're going to hear a lot of different people that proclaim the Celtics as, you know, this team that the Knicks didn't belong on the floor with. They're going to have to change their tune a little bit. So enjoy it, man. We'll do this again tomorrow or later tonight. See you then.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM.
The Fan.
WFAN.